Hello, hello. It's Wednesday, June 27th, 2007. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good. My guest is the Ghost Lullaby. We're going to listen to a track from their CD, and then we're going to do some live stuff and some interviews. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Ghost Lullaby. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Sounds early
why,
in here.
Yeah, why do yeah. How can the first thing guys say on the radio is always like two octaves lower than they normally talk? It's like, good.
Just looking cool.
why don't we go around the room and just let me know who you are and what you play.
I am Sam. I play the drums.
Perrin, guitars, vocals.
And Valerie, guitars and vocals.
Now, I've heard a couple of songs from the album. I've heard them on your MySpace, and sometimes you have female vocals, sometimes you have male vocals. Mm-hmm. Is anyone a front man to this group, or is this a completely collaborative effort?
No, he's the boss. Perrin.
Perrin's the boss?
I sing more songs, and I guess I do more leads. Although, like that last song you just heard, like that was Valerie on lead. So, I mean, we do kind of go back and forth, and it's definitely a collaborative band. But I guess I'm the front man, I guess.
Is it sometimes you write a song and then you think, you know what, this is going to sound better if with female vocals. Like you write it intending to sing it and then you decide maybe Valerie would
actually
be
the song that started at the end of that one and the one that we're actually going to be playing first is called All Was Lost. And that one actually, yeah, I wrote all the music and lyrics to that. And that was one of those songs that just kind of happened. Like I wrote that song so fast. It just happened quickly. And we did an original demo of it, and I sang it, and then listening back, I was like, well,
actually,
I think you stole it at a show is what happened. I was supposed to sing it, and at a show, she just starts singing, and I was like, okay. Yeah. Sounded good, though.
Is that how you write a lot of your songs? Like, just all of a sudden, you have this idea, and you got to write it out as fast as you can?
Actually, no. That was that one was a lot quicker. Usually, like, I come up with several ideas for the song and maybe some lyric ideas and stuff, and then I'll bring them to everybody else. And then, you know, like, sometimes it can drastically change. Like, I remember once I had, like, an inverted beat kind of to a song, and Sam was just like, no. And he shows it, and I was like, oh, okay. Made the song better.
Yeah, and I usually write a song, and then Perrin makes it better, so... Most of the songs that I write, he helps out. And we used to write totally separately, but now just actually making a record, we ended up writing lyrics for each other and writing parts and kind of doing it together more than we anticipated to do.
Yeah, and one song we wrote completely together, like the four of us in the studio while we were using up studio money. We were like, you know, this we should add one more song.
We needed 10 songs for the album.
We should mention too, there is a fourth member of the band on bass. Who is this?
Oliver, that's my little brother actually, and he's in New York, unfortunately, and I'm sure he's actually probably listening right now. So hey, Oliver, he'll be back this weekend, and he'll be playing the big Kill Radio show event with us on Monday night at Safari Sam's.
Well, cool. Why don't we jump into a live song and we'll talk about the whole genesis of this project. Okay. What are you going to play for us first?
All Was Lost.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is The Ghost Lullaby.
Let's go play now. It's all okay now. That's the way. Find
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Ghost Lullaby. That was a great start, guys.
Little technical difficulty in there.
Oh, really? It went unnoticed by me anyway.
Well, that guitar tech of mine is just...
He's fired.
I wanted to ask you actually about the guitar. I mean, especially in this song you just performed, there's this, you know, you get this sense of walking down a desert path and, you know, all was lost, you know, that kind,
yeah.
of, kind of feeling. And a lot of that, I think, comes from the effects that you're using on your guitar and the way you're playing mm-hmm. your guitar. Could you expand on that a little bit?
It's I don't know. I really like my delay pedal. I used it a couple times on the record, and we had to kind of redo these songs in order to do this. We've never done like an acoustic anything before. So like we had to kind of like learn quick, and we had to come up with different, you know, I had to rethink guitar parts, and you know, if you hear any of these songs on the record, it's going to be totally different. And I just thought it was a really nice, you know, pretty sound. We just had access to this one, you know, acoustic, and so I'm just going to fill in noise on my guitar.
Nice.
I'm kind of anti-acoustic. Yeah. Being a girl, I play acoustic at home to practice, so that when I go to my electric, then it's a little bit easier, the strings are easier, but I'm just not the girl with an acoustic guitar kind of musician, so I don't know, I'm taking a chance today, and I'm trying it out, but I really like it with the electric clean.
Yeah, that delay pedal is definitely a big part of that song, even on the record. Like, it definitely helps to that kind of like magical kind of aloneness, haunting aloneness.
How did they get the Ghost Lullaby start? You mentioned your brother is also in the band. Did it start mm-hmm. as a family project, and then?
No, actually, he actually joined us about a year and a half ago, I guess, which is when we kind of really started playing like out a lot. You know, Valerie and I moved here from Texas a while back. I met Sam. We worked together, waiting tables. And then we moved back to Austin for a little while. And then we came back because we were just like, we had these songs. We were playing in a band. And the guys that we were playing with are really good. And they're still friends of ours, but wasn't quite, you know. So we came back. And
we always knew Sam was our drummer.
So right.
It's the first time we ever played
right.
together.
Right.
Yeah, there's no way I could ever quit the band. Ever.
Sam, I'm locked in.
Yeah, Sam was the first drummer I ever played with, and I don't know.
That was a really long time ago.
I feel really lucky because you rarely get to play with musicians that you were just made to play with, and that's kind of how we are.
Now, how do you know that about Sam or Sam? How do you know that about yourself in this band? Like, what is it that you do as a percussionist, as a drummer, for the sound of the Ghost Lullaby?
Well, especially for girl musicians, I like to make it their first time the best. I couldn't let that segue go.
Yeah. By the way, ladies, all those one-liners could be all yours someday.
Well, I knew that they were special musicians because they would take their music to places that was very unusual. The changes, the chord progressions, and the feels of the songs were really unusual compared to what I was listening to and to other musicians I was playing. So I knew it was going to be an outlet for me in terms of my playing to let me explore some different sounds and different feels. And that's what really excites me about the music is that we can take it anywhere. Our songs, as you know, been told we're bipolar. You know, we have these really aggressive songs, then we have these really mellow, you know, pretty songs. And it's just great fun to play in the band that way.
What was some of the music you were listening to when you started, like, saying, okay, I'm gonna make a band, I'm gonna put together a band, we're gonna make music. What was some of the music you were listening to at that time and that you wanted to capture some of the essence of?
Capture the essence of? I don't know if I'm not the kind of person who pretends like I'm totally, like, unique and totally, like, I mean, you draw from your influences. I was always, like, a really big Pumpkins fan when I started playing guitar when I was a teenager, like, listened to a lot of that. And you know, we liked a lot of alternative, and her and I especially were like, you know, new waivers and stuff once upon a time. And yeah, it's really interesting. Every time we play a show, we get different feedback. We hear something different. You guys sound like this. You sound like this. You know, we've heard Pumpkins. Sonic Youth is an obvious one. I'm a mm-hmm. huge Thurston Moore fan. And the fact that there's a guy and girl going back and forth makes that an easy one. But we hear Porcupine Tree. We've heard The Cure. We heard Fugazi, which I didn't even... I challenge anybody to hear a Fugazi song in anything we do.
It makes me cringe when somebody says that. I'm just like, what are you talking about?
We're huge Fugazi
fans. Totally
Fugazi. Yeah. Yeah, interestingly enough, like I have to say, though, it's nice that everyone takes something different from it because mm-hmm. that means we're not obviously something. And that everything they've ever said to us has been a band that we really, really like.
What do you not want to hear? What are some sounds that, you know, like musically that you want to avoid doing? What kind of music you want to make sure? Because, you know, we listen to the radio now, and we were actually talking about this a little bit before, how they play the same songs over and over. And sometimes it's a good song. Most of the time it's kind of mediocre.
Right.
What do you, as the Ghost Lullaby, are the things that are sort of important for you not to do, like a white boy rapper interlude or something, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely no rapping.
Trend following, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to be referenced as soundy. And I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for saying this later.
But, yeah, maybe.
Like a Linkin Park kind of thing. I don't want to be nice. Considered that. Yeah, but, I mean, I like all music, and I'm sure I wouldn't mind. It's just whatever anybody takes and makes it special or hates it. At least they're, like, experiencing it, which is the point, I guess.
Yeah, our goal is to not be processed sounding. We don't want to sound, you know, fake and studio slick. We really look for more organic sound, more rock-oriented, real music.
Yeah, you got to be able to just turn your amp up and go. Like, that was always a really important thing to me. Like, not too many gadgets and gizmos. Like, not that I don't want all those things and stuff like that, but you got to be able to just take one chord, plug in, and go. So, like on the record, we really tried to make sure there was no kind of, like, we didn't want any amp farm or anything to make it sound not like us, you know.
Well, why don't we listen to another track from that CD, and then we'll talk about the process of recording and everything.
Okay.
This is just a self-titled, right?
No, actually, it's called Button Eyes.
What do you want to play?
We could do Just Because. That was it's a kind of a longer song, but it was the big... It's the big download.
Oh yeah, that
favorite.
Was our highest downloaded song
first
last
week.
Our first week on sale, and we sold 8.
Awesome.
Of that song.
Yeah, but that's with no promotion, people.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is the Ghost Lullaby. We're gonna listen to a track called "Just Because" from their album "Button Eyes." Stick around.
Well, you never meant for what's been done, but you never said that it was wrong. So you can go now, you can't sleep now by yourself. Just because I said it was, just because, just because. Oh, the whole thinks we've got things wrong. Soon they'll all see. We'll be right back.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. Just went out, got a sandwich.
Yeah.
Coming in. No, I'm kidding. That's it.
I warned everybody.
That's a great song. A lot of bands, they try to keep their songs down to like 3 minutes or something like that, you know, because they want to make it radio friendly, you know, whatever that means. It sounds like, with the other songs in this album as well, like different lengths of songs, different vibes that you're going with.
Yeah, we've got like the 3.5 minute ones, like, you know, like the first one we played, Dirty, and then longer ones like that one. And so, yeah, it's kind of
even longer ones.
We've got one longer one. Yeah. But
it's
a lot
at
the end.
You know, when you're done, is it just like until you've proved your point with the song? Like, how do you know when it's
kinda
important to keep going, you know?
I mean, we definitely don't set out to make long songs. We definitely don't want to like release a record of like all these like epic songs, you know? I mean, I guess once you hit like Mars Volta level, it's okay. You know, no one will care anymore, but you don't
we don't like to, you know, cut a song short just for the having it short. You know, if the song needs to be 4, 5, 6 minutes long, then it's going to be that long, you know, until we've sort of said what we want to say with the song. You know, but other times we get into these improvisational sections, especially live, and we really don't know where they're going to go or how long they're going to take or what's going to happen. So sometimes they're short and sometimes they're really long. So it makes it fun.
Yeah.
So this album just became available just recently, yes?
Yeah. On the 12th.
On the 12th of this month.
So where can people get it?
Online, pretty much anywhere, like Amazon or CD Baby.
CD Universe.
You can go directly through us, through MySpace in a PayPal situation. Or you can
order from Orange too, can't you?
Yeah, special order in any record store.
Orange Recordings.
You know, go to your independent local place and special order it, and that will make us really happy. And... you know, because if they see people buying stuff in a store, you know,
then
they might listen to their promo copy or, you know, might, you know, just having records for people like us and pay attention to us will mean a whole lot. And, you know, digital downloads, pretty much any store, iTunes or.
Yeah, you can go to iTunes and get them. There's a couple songs that aren't actually on iTunes, though. Like, you have to kind of get the whole record.
Just one. Yeah.
Oh, just one.
Yeah.
How do you look at recording versus performing live? Is there
completely different?
Is there one you like more than the other?
No, actually. For me,
I think we enjoy playing all of the songs live because they're always just a touch different than, and they're certainly different sounding than they are on the record.
Yeah, we don't like write solos and things or any, you know, it's like everything kind of is open to, you know, we don't have like a certain number of, you know, bars that we're going to do at the end of some Tales Have Sad Endings or anything like that. So, I mean, it's playing live is totally different. Like, in the studio, like, we're a little busy. Like, we do a lot of stuff, because you can. And then people think, well, that doesn't really translate live. It's like, but live is totally different. And, you know, there's not really anything we can't, you know, duplicate somehow or make better even. Yeah. I think we're definitely better live than we are on the record. We haven't figured out recording as much as we figured out the shows.
Is that because it's part of your music about connecting with your audience and having that live interaction?
Yeah, and with each other, you know, with each other too. You know, studios are so sterile, you know, so you don't really get a chance to like kind of get into it, you know. And then of course, like live with the people, and then us like being up there together, and
nerves make a difference, I think.
Yeah.
Nerves and adrenaline and random equipment failures on stage always makes it always makes it interesting.
And free beer.
And drinking is a big factor. Because you can hide being too drunk in the studio because you're like, we got tomorrow.
We'll just do it. We'll try that one again.
We had a show in Vegas, and we thought we were playing first. So we all, you know, we usually have like one, maybe two max beers before we play, maybe, if at all. But we had to go through New Maximum Donkey played.
Great band.
And what was the other band?
I think there was actually two others that played. And then we ended up being like third or fourth,
so
like way late
like
in the night. We were
fun.
Hammered.
And by New Maximum Donkey, they're really good live. And it was just like we got really drunk and excited. And then we had to play. And in the first song, my beer just fell over my entire amp. And it was going in and out. I forgot a song, you know.
I dropped 5 drumsticks in the first 2 seconds of the song.
First song, song one, he drops 5 sticks.
Wow. You must have sounded great.
It was really
great. Oh, it was great.
We were tight. We were tight. We were with each other the whole time.
We were just playing different things.
It was just bad. Yeah. So, but we played the next night, you know, in Vegas as well, and we were just like, okay, we're all sober.
Yeah.
And we played really well.
What was the first time you went up on a stage as the Ghost Lullaby and was like, okay, this is what we are? Can you recall the first live performance and what you were thinking? Like the first time that it really reflected, you know, what this band was.
We actually played with.
Oh, okay. Actually, I know what night that was.
It was at the Viper Room.
No, it wasn't. Oh, it was at the first time like it connected, the first time it really worked.
Oh, right.
I think that was, we played with Robin Guthrie of the Cocteau Twins, was playing a show, and this other great band that we're friends with called Broad Daylight, and they were playing at, what was that? Wilshire Grand Hotel. As you can imagine, we warned them, I think we might be out of place, but they had us anyways. And we played, it was our first, like, really great, I mean, we just really rocked it. And then at the end, like, we're really excited, and I smash into Valerie, and I kind of broke the input on her, jack on her guitar. And then so the last thing people see is the curtains are closing, is Valerie throwing her guitar at me. Across the stage.
Yeah, I had just gotten my guitar fixed from throwing it another time, and I was like, no more throwing guitars. I'm over it.
The first show, we get the guitar
and
back, and
yeah,
it's trash.
The first time I played my guitar after it was fixed, the last note of the last song, Perrin smashed into me, and I looked down, and my guitar is cracked. So if it's going to break, you know, it might. I was just like,
in
my mind.
Might as well
go
all out, yeah.
You might as well really break it.
Broke the neck all the way in half. It was great.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
And we played well.
Over my head. I missed him on purpose, but I was trying to get close just to scare him, I guess. But, yeah, and that broke.
It sounds like you guys have a lot of fun when you play live, and that seems to make the music work better for you. Have you ever had the opposite experience where you guys are up there in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong audience and you're not having fun and you're not connecting as musicians?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We've there was one night in particular, it was I believe December 23rd or 20, yeah. It was,
oh like, God.
Right,
yeah.
Before Christmas, and I was very, very sick. Perrin was very, very sick, and we played at the gig to I think 5 people, 2 of which were the bartenders and the other was the bouncer. It was probably the worst show we've ever played because we were just miserable and there was no energy. And
we had no practice before.
Yeah, and we didn't practice before.
We're all out of town. We came into town. Like,
yeah, it was Christmas. It was like,
it was,
yeah, it
really
was
not a good night. So we've had our share of bad shows for sure.
Do you guys gig out a lot? Do you play, like, is that important to keep playing as often as you can?
I mean we
try to play as much as we can. Like, you know, a lot of places out here have problems when you play too close, sets too close to each other at different locations, but
right, they want to own you and they may or may not pay you for that ownership.
exactly. But so, I mean, something that we recently got into after we made a trek to Austin to play a few shows during South by Southwest, and so we stopped at Vegas and Phoenix, and we went up to Houston and all these things, and we're just like, wow, you know, when you're out of town, it's, we sold more records, we, like, you know, because we're selling them live at the time at the shows, and, you know, we're getting paid at the door, so now we like going out to Vegas a lot. Like, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we want to definitely play LA at least once a month, and, you know, we'll play any show that's offered pretty much, you know, if we can do it, but we're going to try to get more, like, out of town, San Diego, kind of driving distance, so we can just get out there, because it's really fun to meet people from out of town and the bands, and then that's when people start checking you out of MySpace that really have seen you and met you, and then you get a connection and friends. And
that's myspace.com/theghostlullaby.
Yeah.
Is that your only website at the moment?
Theghostlullaby.com.
Yeah, we have theghostlullaby.com. But, I mean, MySpace is pretty good with the player, and it has a lot of features that, you know, we'd have to program into our website. So website's under construction, and we're using MySpace a lot. But, you know, pretty soon we'll have the slick website, you know.
Well, I want to get into another live song, but I want to ask you one more geography question. You know, Austin is well known for being a city of musicians and bands. Is it important for you, you know, living in that environment, to do something different, to stand out? Or did you feel that you had to leave Austin to be able to do that?
No, I mean, a lot of the reason why we're in LA, because we really love the city, but Sam lived here, and, you know, we just really, we like the weather in LA. But, I mean, Austin definitely was a great place to grow up, because I was 14 years old, you know, going to see the Dead Milkmen at Liberty Lunch, and just being able to walk downtown, and it's safe, and you're a 16-year-old high school kid, and back then it was really easy to get into bars, you know, with fake IDs and stuff like that. Not so much now, I'm sure. But I mean,
nor do we condone that kind of.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, but you know, like growing up in the '90s in Austin and being in high school and middle school, I mean, it's really a cool town because there's a lot of music and culture, and it's safe, and you still have the small town feel.
Emos.
Seeing bands at emos, and it's all awesome. Ages. So there's literally like 12-year-olds running around, and you're like, it's punk rock, and it's music, and it's really a great place to grow up.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, why don't we jump into another live song if you guys are ready? What are you going to play for us?
This one is called Texture. We're actually going to, Valerie's going to sing again.
It's a little different.
Track five, little different. Yeah, this is going to be a drastic difference from the record. It's completely
This is our new wave version, or dark wave.
Awesome. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Ghost Lullaby.
Is not stone, and his feelings will come. It's the company I'm not keeping, gives me dreams of. To say goodbye. And this texture is not scared, and this feeling we're in bed. It's complicated sleeping when I'm the one you're not keeping. Watch me take.
show me how to say goodbye.
That was great. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is The Ghost Lullaby. You know what's so cool about a song like that, and actually all the songs we've listened to today, is that it goes through these different movements. You know, it's sort of it's more like sort of like a film. You know, it's not they're not very formulaic.
Cool.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So there were several parts in that last song where I thought, okay, this is the end, and then it would go into this other kind of. No, not that it was. No, I'm not trying to imply that it was long. I'm just saying.
Is this over?
It's like, oh, this is the big finish, and then it was like, oh no, it's actually just going into the next chapter, and that's actually kind of cool because it engages your audience, you know.
Thank you.
tell me about each of you. Tell me about your instruments, about playing. Let's start, Perrin, with you about playing guitar. How did you start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar with a couple of my friends. Ryan and Rob. Ryan was actually our original bass player when we first got together in Austin. And we just, like, none of us really took lessons or anything. We just kind of, like, started playing. And then I tried to take lessons a couple years into it. And it was already, like, damage is done. There's no way I can help you. So I just continued on my own. And then Valerie and I started getting together and playing. And she was really, wanting to, like, learn to play better and write songs and stuff. So we started kind of working together, and you know, she really kind of developed herself. And you know, Sam is kind of like, actually Sam and my brother are like truly like trained, like very, they know what they're doing. So they're a good balance to Valerie and I, which are just like insane.
Yeah, I played the drums since I was a little kid. I even used to make drum sets out of buckets and nail molding to them so they would stand up. And it wasn't until I was 12 until I actually got a drum set, and then I took lessons. I've been playing drums ever since. And pretty much anything I do, I'm either drumming on myself or on other, you know, like tables and glasses, and it drives people nuts. So I'm glad my bandmates are patient with me.
Well, it's good that you got it, that you're in a band, for one thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, otherwise people are like, this guy's got Tourette's or something.
Had you played in other bands before joining the Ghost Lullaby?
Yeah, I've played with a variety of other musicians and other band projects, none of which ever seemed organized or going anywhere. And many times dealing with, some egotistical songwriter, and you know, they didn't really have an understanding of what the drummer can contribute to a song. And thank God, Perrin is actually a very good drummer, and he understands where drums can push and pull a song and where drums can take it. So it's nice to be in a band that accepts the drummer as a musician and not just an idiot beat player.
Well, and you were particularly present in the in that last song that you guys just played live.
Well, yeah, that's Texture is a pretty long composition, and it's a difficult song to play live, actually, because it's got a lot of different parts to it and dynamic changes and such. And I love the drumming in that that song. It's just it's just really challenging and fun to play.
And Valerie, what about you?
I started, I wanted to play guitar always through high school and do that sort of thing, but nobody would let me. They always, you know, I was a girl, so they wanted me to play bass. And I guess it was the 90s, but I just never had a connection with bass. Yeah, my first instrument was saxophone when I was 10, and then I played piano in high school, but I never really connected with those either. And then when I met Perrin, when I was 20, we actually knew each other in high school, but we did not play music together because nobody would play music with me. But but when it, we actually, yeah.
And they all talked about it behind your back.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't play music with her.
Yeah. But when I was about 20, he put a guitar in my hands and kind of made me feel like I could do it. And the just the way he taught me, you know, about guitar, I just really... The trick in learning how to play guitar is you just play one song that you love and you hear yourself play it and then you'll just play more and more. So, I mean, if we're a rock and roller, I'm sure there's like a proper way to learn, but...
Yeah, if you're doing something else, maybe that doesn't make as much sense, but I know like I've tried to teach a few people to play and it just really makes the most sense to me. If you teach them a really good three chord song, like, you know, something, find something they love and you teach it to them, they get so excited that they want to keep going. If you just start teaching them, like, this is a G, this is a D, do this, no, this is a bar chord, here's how you do it, they get bored and they quit. Just learn a couple songs. Just, whoever wants to learn, just learn a couple songs. You'll get so stoked that you'll just motivate yourself.
It's interesting, though, the dynamic of actually having a student in your band, like, and you having learned guitar in this band. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see.
Kind of cheating, I think, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's great because you don't bring with you all the baggage from all the stuff that you learned. Maybe you learned the wrong things in other bands, you know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've certainly had to change my perspective on drumming. You know, I always listen to, like, you know, Rush and Tool and, like, you know, bands that are really drum heavy and actually
drummer music.
Yeah, drummer music that, you know, that only guys like, and, you know, if you go to the concert, the line to the women's room is empty, you know. But I've actually rethought a lot of ways that I play in terms of just thinking about the song and what's appropriate rather than what I can or can't do, you know, physically. So it's certainly been the influence of Perrin and Valerie and sort of their punk rock mentality to, like, teach me to pull back and actually think about, you know, what's the right thing to do rather than what I can do.
He knows the right thing to do.
Well, I think we should listen to another track from the CD.
Okay. All right.
What do you recommend?
What's on that record?
There you go.
How about Delicate Ways?
Think so?
Yeah.
You think everyone can handle that?
I think so. We're playing these nice mellow acoustic songs. Let's step it up.
Okay.
Track four.
Thanks for numbering the tracks, by the way. So many bands don't number their tracks anymore. So they're like, yeah, play this song, and I'll spend like 5 full minutes like staring at it, trying to figure it out.
You know, your finger is twice as wide as the print. And so
I always have these nightmares that we mastered it out of order with the print job, and I'm just constantly worried about it's not going to work. But
that's strange. I have nightmares about the record all the time, too. I had a record... I had a record, like, when we went off to print, I had a nightmare that the record came back and the cover of the record was just, like, was like a headshot photo of me on the cover of the record. And I panicked. Yeah, yeah. Just
that's
like a total.
Yeah, that's your ego talking there, Perrin.
It's the Perrin show.
It's the Valerie show.
You know, yeah. I've actually had this conversation with other musicians before about, you know, since the advent of iTunes and all that, people downloading individual songs instead of entire albums. We've lost this. There used to be an art form to making an album. So it wasn't just the songs that were on the album, but the order that you put them in was very important because it told a bigger story than the individual songs. Did you put a lot of that kind of thinking into the songs that ultimately ended up on this album?
It's kind of painful to think that the record might be dying, but I don't really see it that way because there was a time in music that singles, like, that was a thing. You bought a 45 and you wanted that. And you got to think of the music industry as changing and you have to change with it and make it the best out of whatever's happening because it's not going to die unless people get really – weird and stingy and charging $18 for a record when kids want to pay 99 cents. So you got to evolve with the kids, which hopefully...
There's a lot of kids out there that still understand that, like, you know, a record is like a whole, you know, and you do put time into, like, tracking, like, you know, orders and things and...
Yeah, and, you got to get creative. Like, no kid that's a Mars Volta fan is going to go download one one track. They're going to want the whole thing because Mars Volta takes the time to make the record and make it a story or, you know, a product that kid wants the whole thing. So it's a little bit painful, but it's also it's good because it's a journey.
It's a little adventure.
All right, this is Delicate Ways, the Ghost Lullaby from their album Button Eyes. Your listen is good on killradio.org. Listen, it is good on killradio.org. My guest is the Ghost Lullaby. You can get their album, Button Eyes, from a variety of sources. Check out myspace.com/theghostlullaby. Get more information on that. And it was just released a few days ago, right, guys?
On the 12th.
Awesome.
Is this... Oh, I can talk in this one now, huh?
You can talk... Everything okay. is live right now.
Awesome.
I wanted to ask you when you guys are playing next. It's coming up soon, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually going to be a... It's going to be a Kill Radio event.
Yeah. July 2nd at Safari Sam's. We're playing with four other bands that are really awesome. So it's not like a typical LA show where the bands don't really know each other. It's, Ready the Jet goes on first, and then Jesse Deluxe. And they're friends. Two of those people in each band work together. And then we're playing, Peach Fuzz is playing, and then we're going on at 11. And then the Dirges. In the night.
Does it help to play with bands that you know, or bands whose yes. music you like, or bands you have similarities with?
Well, music you like is always a plus.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to play with your friends. I mean, it doesn't like it. It's not necessarily like make a better show or anything, but it's at least fun to kind of, you know, you're all, it's a good time for everyone to be there at the same time and support each other and see each other. And a lot of times, you know, you don't make it out to all your friends' shows and
yeah.
So that makes it a really good thing. Really,
yeah, living
really nice
in
night.
LA, like everyone has friends and bands, and so there's yeah. something going on every night. So if you have two friends in the same show, it's kind of like kill two birds with one stone, and you actually take the effort to come out and park. But Safari Sam's, it's free parking.
Free parking.
And the show is free.
Safari Sam's is the best parking at any music venue
Absolutely.
In LA. Absolutely.
And yeah. for all you smokers out there, great little patio and everything
smoking
to hang out.
And drinking patio.
Drinking patio, yeah.
And Sam gave us the night as a free night, and he's taking half price off every single beer.
All
any
night
kind of
long.
Beer. Oh. Not just
no
like
cover,
Pabst
half
Blue
off
Ribbon.
Beer. No wow. excuses
50%
not to
off
come.
Every beer, which is crazy, but awesome.
Way
yeah,
awesome.
And this is, and we're also going to broadcast that live here on Kill Radio.
Yeah.
We're going to do...
Daly.
John Daly from Standing Room Only is going to be doing... the technical part of that, and it's great because we've been trying to do some sort of remote broadcast for a while, and we haven't gotten an opportunity until just now. So,
yeah, there's going to be interviews or something. I think maybe like
yeah,
backstage interviews with the
John
bands.
John was saying that he's going to do some of the live sets, and then if it gets then interview the bands, you know, in between sets, and if it gets crazy, he can just interview audience members. but yeah, it's kind of an experiment. So
make sure you mention me.
Oh, absolutely.
If I'm not there.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny you mentioned before about playing with bands whose music you like and how that's a plus, just because mm-hmm. a lot of people forget that the band, even though they're playing that night, they also have to go to that club and hang out at that club that night while they're playing until they
yeah.
go up and play.
Right.
And, you know, most of the time you don't get in there like as soon as you're about to play.
Yeah, it's going to be hopefully one of those nights where people can actually hang out, you know, and not just go to see their friend's band play and then leave, which is what we find happening a lot in LA. It's nice just to have a night where people just go to hang out, to listen to music, and to meet new people, and to have a nice evening.
I think that is a very LA thing, because it seems like a lot of promoters in this town don't put a lot of effort into molding the night and finding bands that work well
Almost
together
none.
So that you want to be there. What they do is they just, you know, say, oh, what's your draw? What's your draw?
Yeah,
what's your draw?
You
and then they book those bands.
And
that's,
yeah.
that's right. And that's so strange to me, because it's like, I mean, like it's in the title, promoter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird that, like, so many of them are just like, will you play? Can you bring 30 people? Okay. You know, and then they just let the thing work itself out, and they're mad at you, and it's like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe do something.
Yeah, Sam let us book the whole night. So, starting out the night is a guy named Joel Lava. Safari Sam's also has a really cool movie screen, and they show movies there sometimes. So we're going to show some music videos that Joel Lava, he's a local director, so I thought that'd be cool for like bands to meet him and, you know, whatever. And then Ready the Jet will play first, and then we're gonna have Bitchin' Ass. It's the Red Cross's punk rock variety show, which is really hard to explain, and I really don't know, but if you go to redcross.com you can kind of see the episodes, but we're gonna play it on the big screen, so hopefully that'll bring people out. And just, it's a night.
All the Red Cross fans.
That
yeah.
everything's cool, which is rare.
Awesome. Before we run out of time, let's get into another live song.
Okay.
And Perrin, you're going to be singing on this one?
Yeah.
What do you need there?
I'm going to put that in front of your amp.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to play for us?
This one's called Some Tales Have Sad Endings. Let me just check my pedal real quick, too. Cool.
All right.
A little fuzz on this one.
All right, have a blast. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is The Ghost Lullaby.
It's all my pain. It's all this time we spent in vain. It's all on me, but up to you. Where we go, what we do. No one knows where everyone else goes. Just pretend you'll never understand. I can't stay for long, and you won't stay this strong. All I do is just explain. All your praise was worth the rain. It's all on me, but up to you. Where we go, what we do. Everyone else goes. Just pretend you'll ever understand. I can't stay for long, and you won't stay this strong. We'll be right back. stay this strong, this strong. Oh.
That's really hard, like, first thing in the morning.
That's great. I think that's the first time anyone's really wailed on a guitar in here.
I was wondering if maybe that was the first time that someone's really ever done that at an acoustic with a snare ride cymbal for a radio interview.
That sounded fantastic, man. Are there certain themes that you keep coming back to in your writing, lyrically? Is there kinds of songs that you tend to write?
Yeah. It kind of... maybe along the lines of what you originally, your first impression on the first kind of song, like without being maybe too specific, just kind of really basic, kind of, you know, just fundamental, just fear,
emotion.
Lonely, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I find myself like rhyming the same words just out of like, you're just writing the song and you haven't gotten the lyrics down yet. But, and then we run out of time. And so we have to record it. So you kind of just go, like, you want to work hard and or like work longer on a song, but you either have a song that you're happy with right now or no song at all. So it's kind of just the time, you know, I guess we'll get better lyric people or something. But
is there any one thing you want to hear from your audience? In terms of how they receive your music, like, oh, your lyrics really meant a lot to me because of something that happened to me, or
yeah,
oh, I really like the way you play guitar.
Yeah.
Is there any one thing that's more important than another, or
no?
All positive feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I like honestly, like, I don't care, like, what people think we sound like what they, you know, what they take from it is, if they took something positive, no matter what it was, like whatever their connection was, like, that's great. You know what I mean? Just to be able to like communicate that to them. I mean, that's the big thing about playing live too. That's so good is, I mean, the whole point of, I think, writing songs and stuff, a lot of people write for themselves and that kind of thing. But I mean, don't you want to communicate it? You know what I mean? I mean, isn't that kind of like when you can say something and then they get it and their feedback to you is just like, I got it, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Like, I don't care why, you know what I mean? Like, if you took something positive and we gave you something and then you gave us something. And I mean, that's what you always hope to hear. So it's never like, you know, well, I don't like your singing, but the guitar playing was good. It's like, whatever. Yeah. I don't, you know, if you genuinely had a good time, what do I care? You know, I mean, that's all I care about, that we all go through something together, you know? And I think we try to do that sometimes in our songs too. And that's like when you're talking about the changes and things that we do and the different types of songs, like, you know, it's kind of about, you know, we're trying to get people to come with us on a ride.
Yeah, we have secrets in the record that's lyrically in this record that we'll speak about again in other records, and I'll just be, it's certain just a fun way. It. But we'll never like explain what each song is written about or anything like that, because
the idea of the song though was pretty obvious, like to each song, I think. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't need to be about anything specific, you know, something different to everybody. And but the ideas are like right there, you know. That last song I think is so interesting because not only is it really fun to play, especially like with the full kit and the full rock everything, and we're like laying it down, but you know, is it like almost every chord in that song is major? It's a very up sounding uh-huh. melody, and the name of the song is "Some Tales Have Sad Endings," and some of the lyrics are kind of a downer to like upbeat music. You know, I think that's interesting. Not a lot of people have mentioned that. A few people have, but not a lot.
They will now. Well, they'll come see your show. And
yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe the next show. Someone. If someone says that to me, I know they're listening to this.
All right, so that's, again, that's July 2nd. That's Monday at Safari Sam's. And go to myspace.com/theghostlullaby. And good luck with this new album. Everyone should go out and pick it up.
Thank you.
It's called Button Eyes. What's the title of the album a reference to? The Bad Guy from Nightbreed?
Sure, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, sure. No, I think it comes from kids' toys that, you know, like little dolls that have eyes that are sewn on, like button eyes. That's kind of where it comes from, I think.
Yeah. But
ask Valerie about that one.
Yeah, we'll never
I
tell.
I do not play with dolls.
It's whatever.
One of those mysteries. Yeah. It'll keep people coming back for more. Yeah. Is there another album already? You guys already working on new material?
Always.
Yeah. We actually I've got some things like that I'm getting together. We're moving into our new practice space this Friday, and with actually one of our great band friends out here, Light FM, really really great band, and. So then we can all sit together and work through it, you know, get everything down. And we want to actually get back into the studio this fall. So we'll push this until then and then try to come out with another record like first thing next summer. So,
well, guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Let's leave with one last track. What do you recommend?
Oh,
Clocks.
You want to do?
I guess if you want to hear.
Yeah, we'll do Clocks.
Okay. Clocks. Spooky. This one's spooky.
Something different.
All right, you've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest has been The Ghost Lullaby. Check out myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com. You can download this episode when it's up, and it'll also be available for podcast on iTunes, so check that out.